Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages on the subject, getting ready for Christmas. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Micah chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1, as we take a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
And let every heart say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God has been good to all of us.
Yes, sir.
He have allowed us to come to the 51st week of this year.
Yeah.
And not because we've been so good either.
Uh-uh.
But it was by his amazing grace.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to give the Lord.
Yes, sir.
A praise.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. For those of you who have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. That's an Old Testament book. Amen. Towards the end of the Old Testament, you find the book of Jonah. It's the next book behind the book of Jonah. If you're still having trouble, just turn to the table of content and let the table of contents be your friend. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Verse number 1 through 8, but I just want to read verse 8. The scripture says, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Hold your place right there, because that's my main text, but I just want to do a cross reference here over in the book of Matthew. Go to your right, just a few books to your right, the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and I want to do a cross-reference with this scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. And you'll find these words. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. From those passages of scripture, I want you to think along with me today what God wants for Christmas. What God wants for Christmas. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor gonna talk about what God wants for Christmas. What God wants for Christmas. Family and friends will cause you the greatest pleasure and the greatest pain. As we come to Christmas time, there will be time of celebration for many because of the exchanges of gifts. When a husband gives his wife a gift, and the wife in response exchange and give the husband a gift, there will be pleasure. When parents give their children a gift, and the children in response give their parents a gift, there will be pleasure. When brothers give their sisters a gift, and sisters in response exchange and give their brother a gift, there will be pleasure. When friends give their friends a gift, and in response, those friends exchange and give their friend a gift, there will be pleasure. When a person shows love, and in response, that other person shows some love back, there will be pleasure in that relationship. Family and friends will cause you the greatest pleasure. But at the same time, family and friends can cause you the greatest pain. When one partner in the relationship gives, but the other partner in the relationship does not give nothing back in return. Oh, that can cause some pain in the relationship. When parents give the children some, but children ignore it and basically don't give mom and daddy anything in return, there can be some pain of when brothers give the sisters, but sisters won't give back the brothers and vice versa. There can be some pain when friends don't exchange and show love to one another. There will be some pain in the relationship. In other words, family and friends can also cause the greatest pain in the relationship. Y'all gonna go with me today? Or I'm gonna have to go by myself? Those who are the closest to you often hurt you the most. Those who supposed to help you often end up hurting you. As a matter of fact, it can hurt you so much, it can hurt you so bad that you will end up taking that person to court. Sometime at Christmas time, folks can have such a fallout with one another that they say, listen, I let you get away with it the other time, but I ain't letting you get away with it this time. And they will end up taking you to court. I know what I'm talking about because in Micah chapter 6, that's exactly what happened. God had been given to his people, but his people hadn't been exchanging and giving God nothing in return. So God says, I'm tired of this. I've been letting you get away with 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 this. But I ain't letting you get away with that no more. It's time to take you to court. Y'all gonna go with me today? See, sometimes you can get fed up with your family or your friends' foolishness, and something have to be done about it. Look, that's what God did. Look here at Michael chapter 6. God is taking his people to court. Look here at verse number 1. It says, hear ye now what the Lord said. Arise, contend thou before the mountains. Let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, ye strong foundation of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. Notice God said, we're going to court. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to call the mountains. I'm going to call the hill. Stuff that done been round here since the foundation of time, I'm calling them to court to bear witness of how y'all been treating me. Look at what God says in verse number 3. God says, oh my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee, testified against me? Why y'all going around saying I'm tired of God? He said, what did I do for y'all to get tired of me? Amen. Notice God is asking a question there in the courtroom. He said, y'all saying y'all tired of God. What did I do that y'all so tired of God? Notice God says, listen what I've been doing for you. Look, verse number 4. He says, for I bought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of slavery. I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, Miriam, all my people. Remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Chittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Notice what God said. He said, what have I been doing for you lately? He says, didn't I bring you up out of Egypt? You was down there in slavery 400 years. I came down there to Egypt and I rescued you out of Pharaoh's mighty hands. And not only did I rescue you out of Egypt, but he says, I even gave you some leaders. I gave you Moses, a godly man, to be your prophet. I even raised up Aaron, a godly man, to be your priest. I even raised up Miriam, a godly woman, to minister to the women. So why y'all mad at me? I've been working hard for you. He said, not only that, he says, even when the kings like Balak, when he rose up and tried to have Balaam to put a curse on you, I overruled that king and I turned what could have been a curse into a blessing for you. He said, not only did I do that for you, he said, I bought you from Chittim. That was the last place or the last stop there in the wilderness. And he says, I brought you on over to Gilgal. That was the first stop on the other side of the Jordan River. In other words, God said, I brought you from this side of the river to the other side of the river. You wouldn't have got across the river without a boat without me. In other words, I made a way for you when it looked like no way. And God says, so why y'all so tired of me? I've been working hard for you. But notice their response to God in verse number 6. They say, okay, well, what do you want from us? Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? In other words, they said, so you want us to come and bow ourselves down and worship you? Mm. Yeah! Yeah. Look. Notice what they say. Shall I come before him with burnt offering, with calves of a year old? So what you want? You want a burnt offering? Notice what they say. A burnt offering? Burnt offerings was different from other offerings. Mm. The other offerings, they could bring a lamb or goat, and they could cut part of it and offer it up to God. And then they take the other two-thirds of it and go back home and eat it. Mm. But a burnt offering, you put the whole animal on that altar. They said, what you want? You want the whole thing, God? Mm. Notice the attitude. Verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? So what you want? You want the whole thing or you want a lot of things? Notice what they say. 1,000 offering. They're trying to act funny now. Yeah. They know the average person can't put no 1,000 off. See, only Solomon could do something like that. When you read 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon offers to the Lord 1,000 animal sacrifices. And then when you read chapter 8 of 1 Kings, Solomon offered 20,000 sacrifices before the Lord. They're basically saying, so you want us to do what Solomon does? No, God ain't asking you to do like Solomon, because Solomon was a billionaire, and most of them was not even had any money. These was poor people. Notice, they say you're asking for a large offer. And then notice they go to the extreme on God. They say, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? So what do you want? You want to go ahead and give my firstborn son as a child sacrifice? Notice what they done now, y'all. They done went from a whole offering to a large offering and now to an extreme offering. Yeah. They know that God don't believe like the pagans. The pagans, they would offer child sacrifices, but God forbidded them from doing child sacrifices. Right. But see, when a person is not right with God, they go to the extreme. They go left on you every time. See, that's just like if a person owes you $10 and you walked up to the person and you say, listen, you got that $10? You're gonna give me my $10? And then they look at you like you crazy. They look at you like you done asked for $1 million. And then they pull out their wallet and they just start taking all the money out the wallet. Huh, you can have all the money like this. And then they say, what, you want the credit cards? Huh, you can have the credit cards too. Matter of fact, you can take all my wallet. You can take the whole wallet. As a matter of fact, huh, you want the keys to my car? Here the keys is here to my car. You want the keys to my house? Here the keys to my house. As a matter of fact, they look back and they see their wife. Hey, you want my wife? You can have my wife. You want my children? You can have my children. You can have the clothes off my back. You see how that went to the extreme?
Yeah.
You're not asking for their wife. You're not asking for the clothes. You're not asking for the children. You're not asking for all the money in the pocket. You're not asking for the credit card. You're not asking for the clothes off their back. You're just asking for $10. That's all God. God just wanted what he's supposed to have. He wasn't asking for no extreme offering. He wasn't asking for no large offering. He wasn't asking for the whole offering. God was just asking for what he's supposed to have. You say that you love God, then you ought to be showing that you love God.
Amen.
Look. God said, cut all that foolishness out. He said in verse 8, I already done showed you. He said, he has showed thee, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with God. He's already done showed you. You had the whole Bible already done showed you. what I want from you. What do God want for Christmas? After all, it's Jesus' birthday. We've been asking other folks, what you want for Christmas? What you want for Christmas? We ought to be asking God, what you want? It's his birthday. And I believe if we would ask God, God, what do you want for Christmas? I think God would have these three things at the top of his list. I believe God would say, I want y'all who say that you love the Lord, those of you who are saved, those of you who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, then I want to see you do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with God. Notice these three things are not requirements for salvation. Mm-hmm. Let me be clear on that. God is not telling them to do these three things to get saved. Right. He's telling them you ought to do these things because you are saved. If you saved, then you ought to be living like you are saved. God said, that's what I want for Christmas. Look, let's examine these three things today. Can we examine these three things? Are y'all going to go with me? Y'all going to help me get these three things off the wagon? Number one, do justly. That means to do the right thing in your relationship. See, for God don't want outward religion. God wants an inward righteous relationship with him. And the way that you show that you are right with God is how you treat one another. He said you ought to be doing some justly. Notice, see, they weren't doing justly in their relationship. As a matter of fact, turn over here to Micah chapter 2 and you'll see how they were treating one another in their relationship. Look at Micah chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their bed. Notice, they plotting and they planning. Why they even going to bed at night? They ain't resting one bit. See, when a person ain't right with God and they got sin on their heart, they'll sin even while they're laying in bed. In other words, they don't take a break. These folks weren't even taking a break. Even when they sleep at night, they was just dreaming of evil ways of how they can get over on somebody else. Look right there in the text. It says, when the morning is light, they practice it. Whatever they dreamed about, whatever the plan was, they implemented the plan the next day. They practice it because it is in the power of their hand to do so. See, sometimes people don't sin because it ain't in your power to sin. See, sometimes folks, they may think you living right, but the reason that you're doing right is because you had been put in position to do wrong. See, I can easily say that I had been out of line.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.